Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Rudner Law's Fire Away, your online question and answer show focusing on the employment law issues that are important to you. My name is Stuart Rudner. I'm an employment lawyer and mediator and host of Fire Away. I am very excited today that we're going to be having Martin Gebert join us as our guest. Martin is a senior HR consultant, someone I've known for many years, a wealth of information. He is the owner of HR Ask Me, which provides human resources consulting and support to a variety of clients across Canada. He has extensive experience in HR. He's also a prolific writer, writes frequently for the Financial Post. And in today's episode, Martin and I are going to be talking about off-duty conduct and when off-duty conduct can result in either discipline or dismissal in the right context. Reminder that Fire Away streams live monthly. You can see it on our Facebook page, on our YouTube channel, or on our website. If you're watching live and you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them. So feel free to post comments on Facebook or YouTube or tweet them to @RudnerLaw, and we'll get to as many of them as we can. Martin, thank you for joining us. I'm really excited for our conversation today.
Well, thank you for having me, Stuart. I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be great, and I think we should dive right in because we've only got about 20 minutes to talk about a topic that we could easily keep going probably for the rest of the day, if not longer. Martin, I think hopefully you won't take this the wrong way if I say it. You've been in HR for a few years now. How has the issue of off-duty conduct changed over the years?
Well, yeah, some years, Stuart, is being charitable. Off-duty conduct for much of my career in HR, we had to deal with things like drinking, DUI, moonlighting. And more lately, things like dealing with safety sensitive positions, pre-incident and post-incident testing. So it all had, there was much of it had to do with impairment. Potential impairment was what we were mostly dealing with, and the impact that could have on people's jobs. And then as I mentioned a second ago, moonlighting as people, as technology sort of grew in people's home offices. People were wanting to do things on their own time, and we had to deal with that. But it certainly has evolved significantly in the last, I would probably say, 5 years, most noticeably for me, 5 or 6 years. And that's with the obvious growth of social media and the platforms that people can. Can engage with. What it's done is it's sort of normalized commentary. People seem to have this unstoppable urge to participate and hit send before they think about it.
Yeah, well, I think that's the real problem we're seeing. And I'll tell you, Martin, I've been saying for about 15 years now that it never ceases to amaze me how, as technology evolves, people find new and more interesting ways to get themselves into trouble. And I started off, I still remember the first presentation I did at the Law Society of Upper Canada, now Law Society of Ontario, on employee abuse of internet and email. And at the time I was talking about really those stupid spam emails you used to get that you forward it to 30 people, you have good luck or that type of thing. And we didn't even have social media yet, but I was already talking about internet and online abuse. Now we've got, every possible venue or platform you can find to vent. And like you're saying, people have this this uncontrollable urge and they don't give any thought to the consequences. And this is, I'm going to talk about this later on in my when I get to Fire Away at the end of the show, but people don't seem to realize that we have freedom of speech in Canada. That doesn't mean freedom from consequences. Exactly. And every time one of these stories breaks where someone posts something stupid online and they get fired, and then you I love tuning into talk radio. In Toronto, it's AM 640 is what I love to tune into. And you have all the freedom of speech people who say, we have freedom of speech, and they can't be fired, and that's illegal. And of course, that just misses the point completely. It means you can't be prosecuted criminally, although there are even exceptions to that rule for something that you say. But you can lose your job. You can be disciplined. So let me ask you this at a very broad level. When should people be disciplined, or when should people lose their job as a result of what they do on their own time?
Well, I think that there's some there's some obvious things we can say. You know, if people in online form, Twitter or Facebook or whatever, threaten their business, threaten their employer, or threaten employees. I mean, those are some pretty obvious things that need to be taken very seriously. You know, the question about when people can be disciplined in sort of more gray areas. You know, I think more and more employers, Stuart, are defining ethical behavior as it pertains to not just to fellow employees, but stakeholders in the community, customers, and others in the community, that there's an expectation of ethical behavior. And I think, you know, online behavior could threaten employment when it's a type of harassment. Mm-hmm. that is shown. You know, and it might not even be harassment of a fellow employee or someone connected with the company, but it's indicative of the potential for poor behavior. I mean, you and I have talked about the responsibility of employers to maintain a supportive work environment. You know, it's diverse and free of harassment. Indicators that might be harmed by behavior is something that needs to be taken very seriously.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, Martin. And Rob, we talked offline. We have a video that will probably be familiar to many of our viewers. So Rob, if you could tee up that video from the Ontario Hydro employee.
2-1 is better than.
Hey. Hold on. Were you guys waiting around to see if you could effer in the PME live on TV?
Yes.
Is that what you were waiting?
Not you, but yes.
You were, seriously?
Yes.
Can I ask why you would want to do something like that?
I feel like it's
he's wearing the shades,
quite substantial.
Man. He's
ready. No, seriously. Well, I mean, it's a disgusting thing to say. It's degrading to women. And
but
you
where
would
else are you going
to
do it?
You would humiliate me on live television?
Not you.
Are you actually filming this?
Well, because you know what? I'm sick of this. I get this every single day, 10 times a day by rude guys like you.
I'm sick of it.
Okay, so this is going back a couple of years ago now, but you know, the amazing thing is, you know, when you watch the video, this is outside of a Toronto FC soccer game here in Toronto, and we subsequently learned that the individual in question was an employee of Ontario Hydro. What's interesting is this had nothing to do with Ontario Hydro, nothing to do with his job. What he said was ridiculously offensive, but had nothing to do with his job, and yet we now refer to that as the Ontario Hydro incident. So the company is now associated with that offensive video. And it's a great example, in my view, of how you can have off-duty conduct, which has nothing to do with your job, and yet can impact the reputation of the employer and therefore can justify discipline. And in that case, was used to justify dismissal, although he was reinstated later, which we can talk about if we have time. But I guess, Martin, I'd be curious to your thoughts as to, you know, you mentioned harassment and things like that. Do you think it makes sense for a situation where someone does something that has nothing to do with their job, nothing to do with their employer, and yet does it make sense or in some cases it can lead to termination?
Yeah, I might take small issue with it has nothing to do with the employer because the employer is an entity is looking at it, but so are employees, colleagues, female colleagues of this engineer. I mean, if I was in management in that organization, I would be very concerned about his potential for misbehavior in the workplace. I'd be very concerned about how others would view him in the workplace. I'd be concerned about his judgment, the credibility that I'd need to invest in him as a potential long-term employee. The trust. I mean, do you trust the judgment of a person like who would do something like that in public? I mean, if you think ahead, is this guy a fit in the organization? You know, those conversations are going to come up the following year when management is looking at promotion lists, for example. Someone's going to say, yeah, well, he's done a fine technical job, but let's remember that this happened. So I think that employers have an obligation to think about those sorts of things.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. I mean, I perhaps I was overstating when I said nothing to do with his job. Nothing, you know, explicitly to do with his job. Right. You know, Ontario Hydro never mentioned in that video.
No.
And it had very real ramifications. And as we know, you know, the Ontario Hydro made the decision to fire him. They did it, you know, very swiftly, which I thought was a great PR decision, because they were able to very strongly say to the public, we do not condone this type of behavior. We don't accept it. Anyone who engages it is gone.
Exactly.
Probably, and I have no inside information about that situation, but I'm assuming that they probably knew that he would probably grieve the matter and be reinstated. But they figured they would deal with that later. In the interim, they took the opportunity to send a very positive message about Ontario Hydro, which I thought was very smart. The interesting thing here, you know, I remember when that story broke, and it's happened dozens of times where people post things online and get fired. And you have, like I said before, people who say you shouldn't be fired for something you do on your own time. You know, the reality is the law has never changed. The law has always said that by default, what you do on your own time is your own business. But it can result in discipline, including dismissal, if it has some implications for either the employer or the employment relationship. In this case, you know, the points you're making, you know, does it make the other employees feel uncomfortable? Does it cause the employer to question their judgment? Does it impact the reputation of the employer? Which I think in this case, all three of those came into play.
Yeah.
I think that's a critical lesson for people to understand, is that what you do on your own time can come back to haunt you in the employment context.
Right.
And I guess, Martin, I know we talked a bit offline. Do you have some situations that you've dealt with where people did things off duty and it had consequences, or could have had consequences at work?
Could have done. I'll just quickly describe a rather eccentric case where we did not proceed with any action against the employee. This fellow was a member of a very active group that believed that took the position that federal income tax in Canada was illegal. There's various bits of background to that.
We'd all like that to be the case.
Yeah, that I won't get into. It kind of came to our attention when I was asked to formulate an answer to an email he had sent to his employer saying, stop deducting federal income tax from my paycheck. And the employer said, well, sorry, we have to. But we monitored the website for a while just to see how active they were going to be. We were kind of concerned, what do we do if somebody in government calls up and said, you know, gag this guy? But that never happened. So we let it go. We dipped into their website a little bit every now and then. And it was fine. We never heard from it. So we aside from being cognizant, another quick example was, you talked about the use of email. There was a group of about five, employees newly hired less than 2 years in the organization who were exchanging what I would inappropriately call jokes. They were scurrilous, racist, homophobic jokes. And the cat got out of the bag when one or more of them took a company laptop home and started exchanging these things on their company email ID.
Right.
And we came down very heavy on that. The employer said, well, for one thing, you know, when you do that, the email is branded with the company logo.
Right.
So you have that kind of behavior associated. But it was also just the nature, Stuart, of the communications, just the nature of these alleged jokes. We reached the determination partly because of the egregious nature of the material and their early career status. We cut them all loose, frankly, and we did it for cause.
Hmm.
So no pay in lieu. I do remember one of our lawyers reporting to me after being visited by a lawyer for two of these people.
Right.
Who had not seen the material. And when our lawyer showed their lawyer the material that these people had been circulating, their lawyer said, fine, I think we're done. And went back and advised his clients to leave it alone.
I've got to say, I've had that pleasure on occasion where, you know, I've coached a client through, you know, investigating potential misconduct, eventually terminating the employee. And twice actually it's happened where I got the very aggressive demand letter from the employee's lawyer saying there is absolutely no just cause to fire this long-serving, dedicated employee and demanding all sorts of damages. And I never had the chance to do it face-to-face, but twice I've had the chance to take, you know, PDF copies of what they did, send it over and say, essentially, this was a just cause. And in both cases, I never heard from them again. So that can be great when you can do it. Although even in those cases, there's always legal arguments for whether it's just cause or not. But I think the point of the discussion today is not so much whether you have just cause or not. It's just the fact that your employer can end your employment, whether you're entitled to severance or not. You're going to lose your job if you do something stupid online.
And very, very, very quickly, they're sort of the employees' responses were mostly, look, we did it on our own time, so why are you imposing this kind of discipline? And they also said, look, this goes on all this. We're just, this is university students. This is what university students do online. This is kind of normal behavior. And of course, we had the conversation that you're not in university anymore. It's kind of context that.
The scary thing is when you get, I remember we're going back a long time now, but you have individuals who are fired for doing things like that. And their defense is, yeah, but everyone else in the workplace is doing it. And right. When you do the investigation, you find out that, yeah, everyone else is doing it, which calls for a whole lot more training and basically a clamp down on behavior across the board.
Well, in this case, happily, we didn't discover anybody else doing it. You didn't use one very important word. The investigation we conducted into this situation was extensive. It involved sort of forensic IT people, lawyers and investigators and so on. And the stack of three ring binders would fill up a whole shelf just in this one investigation.
I can imagine. I mean, in one case, I remember going back again about 15 years now, there was a group of employees for one of the Ontario government agencies, I forget which one, but 14 employees were fired for essentially, you know, constantly accessing porn at work, printing out inappropriate images, putting them up in the workplace.
Yep.
And they were all fired, and they're all unionized, of course, so they grieved it. And the evidence was that this was the workplace culture, and everybody was logging on and sending each other, you know, links to the different websites and printing it out. So, you know, it's one thing for employers to bear in mind is you can't penalize one or even a group of people for doing what is otherwise tolerated. I know we've only got a couple minutes left, and as I said, the time flies, but I'm curious what you would recommend, though. Let's assume that you have an employer client who calls you and says, we just found out that one of our employees posted something offensive on their Facebook page. Or at least we've been told they did. We haven't really had a chance to investigate yet. What would you recommend as a process from there?
Well, I'll come back to an appropriate investigation. You know, what are the facts? What are the company policies and procedures, and have they been appropriately communicated? You know, you want to anticipate somebody saying, "Well, I didn't know," or "It wasn't clear to me." So you just have to get into it. You just have to be very careful about investigating. I think depending on the nature of the offense, the alleged offense, you might consider, as we used to say in the operating environment, taking somebody off the tools, suspending them, to getting them out of the workplace for a period. But that depends on the nature of the alleged offense.
Yeah, I think that's always going to be the case, whether we're talking about off-duty conduct, on-duty conduct, whatever the alleged misconduct is. But you're going to need to investigate. I mean, the Ontario Hydro case was an interesting one because they did what their employment lawyers probably told them not to do, which was that they fired the guy almost immediately before there was an investigation. And I think they had good reasons in that case to do so. But in most cases, you're going to want to investigate. And I've written about this in my book, which is called You're Fired. It's all about just cause for dismissal. I've written about this over and over again. If you suspect someone of misconduct, you need to investigate, as you said, Martin. And part of that investigation has to be confronting the individual, giving them a chance to respond. And they may have a good explanation, or more likely than not, they're going to dig themselves a deeper hole by not only having engaged in misconduct, but now engaging in dishonesty or just demonstrating that they have a clear lack of judgment. And if anything, as an employer, you'll now have a stronger argument to fire them for cause.
Right. One more thing around policies and procedures. I'm starting to be interested to know your thoughts. I've seen policies where cardinal points are outlined. That is, if these, we have broad harassment policies or ethics policies, but if these three things clearly happen, then you're done. That may be what Ontario Hydro decided in that situation. I don't know, but they might have had a list of sort of egregious actions that could lead to immediate termination.
Yeah, I don't know either if that's possible, although I'm always wary of those lists because then by definition, everything else is somehow more acceptable.
Less so, yeah.
You've got to be cautious about that, but you may be right in that case. I mean, the bottom line, I was going to ask you about policies. I wasn't sure if we'd have time, but I think we got a minute or so before we wrap up. What would you recommend, or what do you recommend to your clients to put into their policies about off-duty conduct?
Well, I think I think before you write policies and procedures, you need to do a risk assessment. What's the potential here? What's the probability? What's the impact if these things happen? And then if you determine that there's a significant risk and significant probability of risk and significant impact on the business, then you can be very, I think you should try and be very clear about what off-duty conduct is not acceptable. And then you've got something to fall back on. So I would begin with a risk assessment and then write out a set of policies and procedures that are very clearly founded on that.
Yeah, that's good advice, and that's what we do with our clients all the time. And I always recommend having a policy in there or a statement in your policy handbook that says you can be disciplined for off-duty conduct in the right circumstances. And we'll often give a bit of a definition as to what those circumstances might be. Just as you said, people can say, I had no idea. Just because you don't have a policy doesn't mean you'll lose, but you'll have a much stronger case if you do have a very clear policy that you can.
And as the employer's got to keep at it, sorry, Stuart, I would also advise clients that for those very important ethical standards, that you perhaps have an annual annual reminder, and perhaps have everyone or key people in the organization sign ethics cards that they understand. So.
Yeah, no, I think you do. I mean, you can't unfortunately repeat the entire handbook every year, but it is important to harp on the key points to make sure everyone understands them. I think that's critical. So we are pretty much out of time. So I will wrap up. And I know we had a question about how people can get a hold of you, Martin, which is what I was going to do in my wrap up anyway. So first of all, Martin, I'm not surprised the 20 minutes flew by, and we can usually sit for 2 hours over lunch and talk about these issues and more. But thank you so much for making the time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Thank you, Stuart.
It was great. And for anyone who wants to get a hold of Martin, you can either go to his website, which is hraskme.com, or you can follow him on Twitter at hraskme. And like I mentioned before, he's often in the Financial Post. Look for his articles there because Martin is truly a wealth of information. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry about that. I missed my cue. That's my fault. So now it is time for me to fire away. And I'm just trying to get my notes in front of me. So in episode 8 of Fire Away, Martin Burt and I talked about off-duty conduct and when it can lead to employment consequences, whether those be discipline or dismissal. And I've been saying for about 15 years now that it never ceases to amaze me that as technology evolves, people find new and more interesting ways to get themselves into trouble. And back 15 years ago, it was inappropriate emails, and we were starting to see people surfing porn sites and that kind of thing. There was no social media, there was no Twitter, there was none of the stuff we see today. But people continue to find ways, and people don't understand that what they do on their own time can come back to haunt them. And this is where there's a lot of misconceptions I want to address really briefly in my rant for today. By default, the law has always said that what you do on your own time is your own business. But the law has also always said that if you do something off duty that has implications on your employer or on the employment relationship, it can result in discipline up to and including dismissal. And when we say if it has implications for your employment relationship, that might mean things like going out and bashing your boss online. So in the old days, what would often happen is that someone would go out for a couple of drinks with their buddies after work, and they might complain about what a jerk their boss was. But the reality was there was no record of what they said. There was a very limited audience as to who was listening to it. And no one ever thought twice about it. Now, more likely, that same person is going to go on Facebook or Twitter or on their blog and comment on their boss. And the problem here is that you've got a potential audience of millions, and you've got a permanent record of exactly what you said, and try as people might, you can't delete it. So the reality is, it is going to impact the employment relationship if the employer finds out. And odds are, in 2018, you're not going to be able to fly below the radar. You can also do something that will impact your employer's reputation. So you might say something that has nothing directly to do with your job. But for example, we've seen people such as the Ontario Hydro employee that we saw the video in episode 8 of Fire Away. Ontario Hydro employee outside of Toronto FC game showed something extremely misogynistic and offensive to a TV reporter on live TV, and he was fired almost immediately. We've had Ontario Hockey Association referees who have posted or tweeted inappropriate comments about the women of Sault Ste. Marie and been suspended. And I can go on and on with people who have done stupid things online, been suspended, been fired. And I love anytime any of these things happen, tune into talk radio and you'll hear people going on and on about how we have freedom of speech in Canada. You should not be fired for what you say off duty. This is illegal. It's unlawful, et cetera, which is completely untrue. I mean, the reality is we have freedom of speech, which means that you cannot face criminal prosecutions for what you say. And even that has limits, hate speech and that type of thing. But the reality is freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences. So if you do something, say something off duty, you can be disciplined. Maybe there's just cause, in which case you get nothing. Maybe there isn't. But either way, you have lost your job. So the bottom line is, for if you're an individual, think twice before you go online and say anything that your employer might not approve of. And if you're an employer, you should be aware of what your employees are doing and saying online and off duty more generally, to the extent you can be aware of it. If you become aware of potential issues, Martin, Burt, and I talked about this in episode 8 of Fire Away, you need to do an investigation. And I've written about this in my book, which is called You're Fired. When you become aware of any alleged misconduct, don't jump the gun. Make sure to do a proper investigation, which includes confronting the individual, giving them a chance to respond to the allegations, explain what happened, and perhaps redeem themselves. Or what I see happen more often is that they dig themselves a deeper hole, and they will either lie or engage in other dishonesty, or they will show that they really have no judgment whatsoever, in which case you probably don't want them in your employment with your company to begin with. And at that point, you're going to have a much stronger case to let them go. So either way, confront them, go through the investigation, and then deal with the situation. The bottom line is, as I've often said, freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences, especially in the context of employment. So that's my 2 cents worth, and you got it here for free. So we are out of time for episode 8 of Fire Away. I want to thank Martin Bird again for joining me on this episode. We had a great discussion, which could have gone on for hours. I want to remind everyone that we air live monthly on our Facebook page, on our YouTube channel, on the website. If you have questions and you're watching the live episode, feel free to post them, and we'll do our best to respond to as many as we can. They're also available anytime on the Facebook page, on the YouTube channel, on our website. So feel free to look at past episodes as well. Next month, I'm going to be joined by Anton Katz, who is a corporate commercial lawyer and civil litigator in Toronto, specializing in working with small businesses. And Anton and I are going to talk about what happens when there is a sale of a business. What does that mean for the selling company? What does it mean for the purchasing company? What does that mean for all of the employees? What are their rights and obligations? And I'll tell you this, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more next month. Our firm is often called in when there is such a sale. And unfortunately, we're often called in late in the day, and no one has given any thought to the fact that there are 30 or 300 or 30,000 employees that are going to be affected. And all of a sudden, both parties are scrambling to try to figure out what their obligations are. So when you're thinking about buying or selling a business, take a minute to think about the HR implications and make sure that your lawyer is dealing with it. We often work hand in hand with corporate lawyers to deal with those issues because we have the expertise on that front. So tune in next week. We can certainly have an engaging discussion upon that. And we'll talk about the sale of business in much more detail. I do want to remind everyone that at Rudner Law, we believe in education. We provide a lot of useful information, including on our blog, on our social media feeds, and of course on this show. If you haven't already, sign up for our newsletter. You'll get notifications about everything that's going on. And as well, you can like us on Facebook and like our channel on YouTube, so you'll be notified about upcoming shows. But last but not least, and I say it all the time, but I'll say it again, these shows do not replace the advice from a good employment lawyer. Not your cousin who practices real estate law or your friend who does tax law, someone who specializes in employment law. If you think you might need advice from an employment lawyer, you probably do. Feel free to call us, reach out, happy to talk to you. If we can help, then we certainly will. And if not, there's no harm done. But either way, problems rarely go away by themselves. And as I often say, it's always cheaper to prevent the problem than to fix it later on. That's all for episode 8 of Fire Away. So thanks for tuning in and have a great day.